Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome back to hour number two and the final one for another week. It's nice to have you listening. Hopefully you enjoyed that first hour. Got a lot coming up in this hour. We'll be checking in about 20 minutes, well, less than that, up at the National Ability Center. Carrie Cusimano, who handles the communications there, is going to tell us about a great event that's coming up. And they've actually expanded it from years past, their third annual Red, White, and Snow event. So lots to talk about there, and we look forward to it. Then we'll have Snow Day and check in at Park City. Jessica Miller will be here. But Tim Hughes, along with Russ Smith from Sky Call.
Good morning again.
Good morning again.
Yeah.
Nice to have you here.
Saturday morning.
It is. Go ahead and tell him.
No,
what
I'm
day?
Not going
what
to.
Day is it, Russ?
He doesn't know, Tim. Don't ask him something he can't
Tuesday.
Answer.
It's Tuesday.
It is not Tuesday. It's Thursday. We're recording this program on Thursday, but all new information to our listeners there. So coming to you as live this morning.
And it's all new.
It's just the way it is because I have to get out of bed Monday through Friday now at 3 a.m. and gosh darn it, I want a weekend. I haven't had weekends in 20 years, but it's nice to be sleeping in and still be able to chat with
you
our
seem to
listeners
be enjoying
out there.
Your weekends.
I am enjoying my weekends, actually. And last weekend, I was enjoying it with this guy and his lovely wife, Gail. That would be Mike Navidomskis.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to still be on the air here.
Yeah. Actually, you know, we were a little worried about that, quite frankly, when I took over the Utah's Morning News for Brian. Wondering what that meant for Saturdays, but we found a way to make it work.
You know, I get to get. I'm on the lifts right now, and I'm on the air.
You're on a lot of lifts.
I know. Lifts.
Oh, lifts.
Yeah, Gail and I are skiing today.
Yeah. While you're on the radio. How about that?
Yeah.
Now we're really confusing people. this next voice is one that our listeners should be familiar with through the years, although the Division of Wildlife Resources exiled him to an island somewhere, and it's not actually Antelope Island. I'm unsure where it is, quite frankly. Where? But Mark Hadley is with us. We haven't seen or heard from you in a while.
Yeah, well, it's good to be back with you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. I always enjoy visiting with all of you.
Yeah. Catalina Island?
Not that far. Oh. Mark is now the Northern Region Outreach Manager, and his replacement is, of course, Faith Jolly, who keeps us in touch with all things Division of Wildlife. Tell everybody what your new responsibilities are, though, Mark.
Well, yeah, Tim. So I am the Outreach Manager, as you mentioned, in the Northern Region. We have a team of five people, including myself, that handle all the different outreach things here in the northern part of the state. So anyway, I'm part of that team. I manage that team. And then I still do a lot of communication work. So I really do a lot of the same stuff I did in Salt Lake. I'm just up north now.
Yeah. You know, I saw him on TV not too long ago. It had to do with that those squirrels or whatever they were, the prairie dogs. But I saw Mark, and I was like, you know, we've talked to him for 20 years.
And you never knew what he looked like.
He looked exactly how I pictured him, though. That's rare.
Well, and that might be a good thing, because you don't know how many times people have come up to us and gone, are you Navidomskis?
You don't look like your voice.
And I said, that's probably a good thing. Hey, we've been touting all of the wildlife viewing opportunities there are in Utah. And was it last week or the week before we were mentioning the Snow Goose Festival? But the Swan Festival is coming up.
Yeah, exactly, Tim. Yep, on March 14th, we're going to hold what we call Wild Swan Day. We used to call it Tundra Swan Day, but we're getting more trumpeter swans that are starting to come through Utah, so we've changed the name to Wild Swan Day.
Okay.
So the trumpeters get some love, too. So anyway, but what we're going to do on Saturday, March 14th, folks can come to either the Salt Creek Waterfowl Management Area, which is just outside of Tremonton up in Box Elder County, or they can come out to the Farmington Bay Waterfowl Management Area, just on the west side of Farmington there, and come on out and see swans. Mid-March is when the swans start heading north. they're leaving their wintering grounds down in California, and they're heading north up to Canada and Alaska to nest. And so they're coming through Utah in big numbers in the middle of March. And so we'll have spotting scopes set up and, you know, help folks have a hopefully an enjoyable time watching swans that day and, you know, trying to answer people's questions about them.
I think we actually had a bumper sticker when I was a drum major of my high school marching band, and there was a sticker that said, "Trumpeters need love, too." Trumpeters of a different kind.
Yeah. Politically correct in swan language there.
Yeah. Why are we seeing more trumpet swans these days? Is it a change in the population one way or the other?
You know, I think so. The trumpeter population is doing better. So I think there's more birds around, and then I don't know if there's been a little bit, maybe some kind of a shift in their migration patterns, possibly. I'm not sure on that, but we've started to see more and more trumpeters in Utah. The swans that folks see on March 14th will mostly be tundras. So expect to see lots of tundra swans, but again, there's an opportunity if you come on out that you might see some trumpeters as well.
Trumpeters got some love.
Trumpeters are getting some
love. You gotta have love, too.
Yeah. These are big birds, too, aren't they?
Oh, they really are, Tim. Yeah. If you've never seen a tundra or trumpeter swan in the wild, they're very, very impressive birds. For example, their wingspan is almost 6 feet. So their wingspan is about 6 feet. Their length, they're about 5 feet long. These are adults I'm talking about. And then the males weigh about 14 pounds on average. The females weigh about 13 pounds. So, and they're pure white. And so, you know, these are big, impressive, really beautiful birds. And it's just so neat to get out in the springtime and be able to see them.
Yeah, and at Farmington Bay, I mean, what are you, about a football field away from them is all.
Well, yeah, you know, that's what happened. That happened last year. We had a neat opportunity, like you mentioned, Tim, to be, you know, not more than about a football field away from them. But sometimes, those who are listening today, if you want to give yourself the very best chance to get really a great view of the swans, Salt Creek is probably the best place to go. Typically, folks are able to get a little closer to the swans there than they are at Farmington Bay. But again, you never know from year to year. Last year, it was amazing. We had a bunch of swans. Again, less than a football field away from it. But out at Salt Creek, though, there's a little hill called Compton's Knoll on the northeast side of the wildlife management area. And from that little hill, you can get up and see almost the entire marsh out there. So, typically the viewing's a little bit better at Salt Creek. But, again, you never know. Sometimes at Farmington, the swans will they'll get close to us, so you just never know.
Yeah. That viewing at Salt Creek, by the way, is 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on March 14th, for those that want to put it on the calendar and know exactly when it happens. We're so lucky that we're in this flyway and that this is a stopover point, just like we talk about with the snow goose or snow geese. They're just taking a little respite before they take off and continue their journey.
Exactly. Yep, that's what they're doing. And these marshlands here along the Great Salt Lake, man, they're so important to these migratory birds. And so, yeah, they stop over, and they're refueling on their way north. And so, yeah, what a gem we have here in the state of Utah to have all these wetlands. And then I appreciate you giving the time, Tim, on Salt Creek. Yeah, 9 to 1 is when the event will happen there. At Farmington Bay, it'll run just an hour longer. It'll run from 9 to 2. And if you come out to Farmington Bay, we also have the Eccles Wildlife Education Center there at the management area. And there'll be a couple of presentations about swans given. They'll be about 30-minute-long presentations, one at 11 a.m., one at 1 p.m. And then we have a little, it's the Wetland Discovery classroom that we've got there. And if you've got kids, you can bring them in there, and they can make a paper swan while you're there.
Oh, that's great. Billy and his team do such a great job up there at the Wildlife Education Center. All right, Mark, really good to touch base with you. The date of this is March 14th, and you can sort out all the details again if you just go to the website wildlife.utah.gov and click on the links there. And one of these days, we're going to bump into you out in the field somewhere. At least that's my hope.
Man, I hope so too, yeah. Cam. I'd love to bump into you guys.
Yeah, all right.
Again.
Mark Hadley, Conservation Outreach Manager for the Division of Wildlife Resources. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll take you up to the National Ability Center in Park City and find out about their great event coming up, Red, White, and Snow. It's kicking off on March 4th, so don't go away.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Always a pleasure to have you with us here on a Saturday. Wanted to take a couple of minutes in enough advance notice to let our listeners know of a great event that's coming up. We talked about it last year. In just a couple of weeks, or maybe not even that long, Carrie Cusimano is the Director of Development for our friends at the National Ability Center, and they call this thing the Red, White, and Snow event, which is perfect. Carrie, thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Usually people will do this one time and then start declining the opportunity to come back in when they after they have this experience. But it's nice to have you.
I'm happy to be here. Absolutely. And excited to tell you a little bit about our Red, White, and Snow event this year.
Yeah, it kicks off on the 4th, right?
That's right. We have a new event on March 4th. You know, the event has always been a three-day event, Thursday through Saturday, but this year we're actually starting on Wednesday with a concert up on Main Street in Park City at O.P. Rockwell featuring Donovan Frankenritter. So it's going to be a fun kickoff concert. You can buy general admission tickets, you can buy VIP tickets, or you can come do a wine tasting prior. But a fun way to kick off the Red, White, and Snow event this year with a concert featuring Donovan, who he has kind of a Jack Johnson sound to him. One of his songs is Free, and you know it's quite popular, and you can hear it on the radio and beyond. So a fun kind of chill night with an amazing artist and great way to experience some wine at O.P. Rockwell.
Well, I'm glad you tackled his last name. I wasn't going to attempt it, but
say Frankenritter five times fast. Right?
Yeah, really. I have heard the name before, and I'm sure I've heard the song as well. Why the expansion to the extra day? Just that many people participating? Too much fun to be had?
Switch it up. Yeah, you know, a lot of our events sell out throughout the weekend, and this is a way to create a lower price point and, you know, a fun artist who's connected to the mission at the NAC and friends with one of our vintners, which is how the conversation got started of bringing him in. But we're always trying to switch it up and create unique opportunities within the weekend. And, you know, so that will be a new event for us this Wednesday, March 4th. And then we go about the events that we've been having for many years, the Thursday evening Uncorked event up at Stein Erickson Lodge, wine tasting up at Stein's with fantastic food and wine from about 30 vintners of the Napa, Sonoma County, as well as wines from Oregon this year. And then Friday we have the infamous Wine on the Mountain, which is up at the St. Regis. Everyone wears their one-piece 80s ski outfits, which I remember talking to you about this, Tim, and saying that you needed to come and put your one-piece ski outfit on and come to the St. Regis and, you know, ski Deer Valley and then, you know, lunch with us at the St. Regis and try lots of different wines from the various winemakers. So that's Friday the 6th at 12:30. And then at night, we do some really cool events in private homes and restaurants throughout the greater Park City area and Salt Lake and Midway where we pair a winemaker with a chef, could be in their restaurant, could be in a home, and then have an intimate event at various venues throughout, like I said, the greater Park City area, and then we bring in a National Ability Center participant to speak to the mission and why they're involved with NAC and what it's done for them, and they're really impactful stories that are shared, and of course, wonderful food and wine from the winemakers. So that's Friday night, and then the final night is our big gala that takes place up at the Montage on Friday, March 7th, and the gala is sold out. There is a library dinner. If folks wanted to come up to the Montage and experience the event, they could come and attend the silent auction in the cocktail hour, and then there's a separate dinner not far from the ballroom in the library at the Montage. And it's $500 price tag versus $1,000 for the gala, and it's a nice way to experience the event.
Yeah, all of this a fundraiser, but it's interesting that you bring up this idea of wearing the one piece. I never owned one. My wife actually, has probably four or five in the closet, and Navi and I have had this debate going back and forth because I say they're coming back in style. He said no way.
They are back in style. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
My wife.
Yeah, just Google it, and you'll find lots of options.
My wife has one that she says I used to make her wear. It's my fault that she ever wore it, but I tried to explain in that time it was cool, and she says that could have never been cool. This is your fault.
No, it's cool again. We were in Steamboat last week, and there was actually a red, white, and blue patriotic.
There were lots of them, but you know what? I cannot debate that they were cool.
They're still cool.
Oh, man.
Well, maybe you can wear one of hers.
Yeah. however, the gala on Saturday night, that's a black tie, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and we actually have Gavin DeGraw coming this year for a little featured concert during the event, so we're excited about that.
Yeah. Explain to anybody that doesn't know, and hopefully we've educated our audience well enough by now, what all the money goes for, some of the great programs up there.
Yeah, so the National Ability Center, we provide adaptive recreation opportunities for people of all abilities. We serve veterans and their families, those on the autism spectrum, pretty much anyone who's faced adversity and may need support with additional equipment to ski or participate in adaptive equestrian programs. So it's both, we serve people with both physical disabilities as well as those with intellectual and cognitive disabilities. And we have participants as young as, 3 years old on up to, elderly folks who maybe had a knee replacement and can't ski the way that they used to.
Yeah.
So we really, it runs the gamut of who we serve. And we do have a very large scholarship program. So if someone isn't able to afford our programs, we do have a fund that allows them to participate because we recognize often when someone has a different ability, they often have a lot of medical expenses. And so, paying for recreational programs may not be the first thing on their list. But it is life-changing in terms of, what we do at the NAC is focus on what people can do. Our whole mantra is I can, and we like to say we're building the adaptive nation. And so, with that is really showing people, what they can do, on the mountain, on a bike, on skis, on a horse, climbing.
Yeah.
And it can be very empowering and life-changing to share that with folks and have them, get out and recreate with their friends and family again.
Yeah, we're out of time, but I'm glad you used that term of life-changing because it really is for people. And what it does is reestablish dreams that they thought were lost because of something that has happened to them along the way or something maybe they dreamed of doing, and had a disability from the very beginning of their lives. But there is no, as Yoda likes to say, there is no try. There is only do National Ability Center. All right. If they want more information on Red, White, and Snow, where do they get it?
They can go to redwhitesnow.org.
Perfect. Carrie, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
And hopefully we'll see you throughout the weekend.
I hope so, too. We will take a quick break when we come back. It is Snow Day, so don't go away.